Give you all the praise, Father. Be exalted in Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hope you had a good week so far. Amen. And you are looking forward to a weekend that is full of rest. Hallelujah. Amen. Last week in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, is we read, and I read. It says, I read the TPT. It says, your crucifixion with Christ. Colossians 3, verse 3. Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life. And now your true life is hidden away in God in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. It says your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life. And now your true life is hidden away in God in Christ. And as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, who you really are, will also be revealed. For you are now one with him in his glory. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's just telling you that this life, ordinarily, that we are, okay, without him, is fake. He says, your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life, and now your true life is hidden away in God in Christ. Your true life is hidden away in God, in Christ. In NKJV, the Bible says, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Hallelujah. Amen. So, and it's not... it's as simple as it has been broken down by the Passion Translation. It says your true life is hidden away in God and in Christ. Amen. Now, fast forward to today. I want to talk to you. I want to sensitize us concerning our obedience and our strict adherence to the instructions as given by God. Okay. So in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse 1. It said, And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech, of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. But I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Hallelujah. It says, let me read again. It says, from verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Hallelujah. And then if you really ponder on the reason why he's saying, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified, you will see that Colossians 3, chapter 3, has given us a very good insight. to the fact that when he was writing to these people, he wanted to deal with them in the true light of who they are, or who they really are. Hallelujah. He says, I'm not coming here to talk to you about any other thing except about looking at you in the dimension of the crucified Christ, okay, and in the dimension of him crucified. Hallelujah. I remember last week when we were reading, he said about the fact that his resurrection is your resurrection too, or his crucifixion is your crucifixion as well. Hallelujah. Amen. So outside of him, okay, and outside of Christ, when we are dealing with people that have with the born again being or the regenerated spirit, okay, you have to deal with them from that particular point of view. Amen. So you cannot be relating with men of the spirit and then be talking about the things in the physical. It'll be difficult. You can't, because there will always be a conflict, okay? The flesh and the spirit. So whatever gives birth to anything sustains it, number one. And then if you will correct any problem, okay, you need to go to the root of that problem, okay? And the root of that problem cannot but solve the problem, okay? So if you know the root, then you begin to look at, okay, so how do I solve this problem? So he's saying here that, look, for I am determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Okay? So every other thing you guys are talking about or you want to be dealing with, it will be fringes to the fact, except what will be the important thing or the crux of the matter will be talking about you, talking about Christ, and then him crucified. Because in him crucified or in his crucifixion and his resurrection, okay, you will find your true life. Hallelujah. That's how the Passion Translation puts it in Colossians 3:3. That is your true life. Can you give me Colossians 3:3 again in TPT? It says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ. No, TPT. It says, your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life. Okay? So, the Bible says when anybody is born, okay, automatically is born and is born with that sinful nature, okay? So it says that this life is that sinful nature that we're talking about. It says your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life. That life that is purely just the natural one. And I think I've always told you that the natural state of things is disorder. So in case you don't believe that, everything that you see, everything, if you go to a garden and it looks beautiful, somebody's tendering that garden. Somebody's keeping all the weeds and everything in shape. Somebody's trying to make sure that everything looks fine, okay? But ordinarily, if you go to any forest, anything, everything just looks like they're just going haphazardly. It takes extra effort to get things done and look beautiful. Now, it's the same thing when you go to a parcel of land. You just don't see buildings sprout up. The natural state of anything is disorder. It's by careful thought process and careful intention that will begin to bring things and put them in order. Now, he's saying here that your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life, and now your true life is hidden away in God in Christ. That true life is a life that you can always address, and I will give you results. Amen. So if someone's conscience is bad and the person does not have any relationship with Christ, you cannot address that person. Hallelujah. Except the power of God comes in. Amen. And that's why you will see that once you are a new creation, hallelujah, it is things that you normally, ordinarily will do. Okay? If you put attention to your new being, you will find out that you gravitate away from it and it becomes something that is irritable to you, or you just foul to your spirit. Amen. Because this is the true life. Hallelujah. A life that is hid in Christ and in God. Amen. Hallelujah. So back to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, it takes a very good understanding, okay, for you to detach from the things around, a very good understanding of God and your position in God, for you to detach around from the things around you and focus on God. Now, he says here that it should not be that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And if you look at this particular phrase, if you look at it, it says that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men. You know, oftentimes when we need something, okay, the first thing you're going to look for, if you are not careful, is who can help me out with this thing? Who has the knowledge or the understanding of this particular thing? So, for instance, and as simple as, or let's just, maybe you have a car that's having a problem, okay? The first thing that will come to your mind is, I need somebody that knows about this car. Now, there are different brands of car. You will look for someone that knows about that particular brand and is well known to have dealt with that particular car. Amen. Okay? So that's talking about you looking, should not be, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men. That's how to to look at it and translate it. And this is the wisdom of men. So once I go to him, because he has an understanding, he has been trained for that purpose, you know, then he should be able to solve this problem. That's the ordinary thinking. He says that you shouldn't put your faith in such things. Now, even when it comes to our health, okay, everybody will look like, okay, so someone is not feeling fine or has a discomfort or a disease, okay? The first thing is, who is the best medical practitioner that you can recommend? So you just go to someone and say, there's this condition. Who is the best medical practitioner you can recommend that has done this? And now, God help you, okay? If you cannot afford it, what happens? So when you go, and usually, those specialized functions are always very expensive and difficult to access to the ordinary person. Amen. Even the people that are not ordinary in court, they will tell you that it's not easy. Amen. Okay, I've seen people having different kind of diseases, and then the bill from the hospital is the one that staggers them. And I tell you what, in fact, it's not far away. There was a time my mother was not feeling fine; she was ill, and when we got to the point of making a decision, it was obvious that we had to go that way of medical help. Okay, and then now after the medical the surgical procedure and everything, then it came to the fact that, okay, so we need to apply, she needs to be on this medication for this number of months, okay, so that things can happen, or so that you are sure that whatever was done surgically is not going to reoccur. And you know the beauty of it? It was very expensive. I think she was supposed to take an injection. So that I won't be exaggerating. The injection then was about 600,000 naira. And I think the minimum she would take in a month was about one. Let me put that one. I can't remember. I think it was two or so. It was one. And she would take that one, and she would take it for 12 months. So just calculate it like that. And this is not now. This is about almost 10 years now. Okay? And then, you know, the first sign of relief everybody had was, okay, this surgery has gone well. And then when she went back for the review, and the doctors were saying that this will happen, I said, let's look for a second opinion. Hallelujah. Why did I say look for a second opinion? Because, I mean, the cost, I looked at it, I said, we can start, but how are we going to sustain it? That was the thing that came to me. We can start. How are we going to sustain it? And then I just said, hey, there's God in heaven. I sat down. I said, there's God in heaven. Let's look for a second opinion. I called and called and called and called. But while I was calling, I was also praying. They said, you can't start. And in fact, the doctor said, if you start, you don't stop. And there's nobody that's going to give you such injection. I said, come back and pay later. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, what happened there? It wasn't that we were not believing in God when we went. Hallelujah. It was at the point that we got that relief, okay? We were like, oh, everything is fine. And then at that point where they were going to bring what looked like an impossible or a mountain to climb, we went back to God and said, God, what these people are saying, you know, and you very well know that it's only you that can, in this circumstance, you're the one that can afford it. Amen. And then so I said, God, just do something. And then in his might and in his wisdom, in God's might and God's wisdom, when we went back, you know what the doctor said? He said, you know what? That injection I said you should take, I'm going to suspend it. She's not going to take it anymore. Now let us give her this one and this one for 1 month, which was very, it was like practically, it was just negligible. And then after that, we'll study it over 1 year. And then at that point, I began to get worried. You know why? I was like, but you said that the first option was the best option. So why are you giving us this option? That's the wisdom of men. So why are you giving us this option? I hope that we'll not get after one where we'll not go and then whatever we're trying to run away for, we'll have worsened it after 1 year. And of course, prayer kicked in. We kept praying and praying and praying. And you know, at that point, God was sending different kind of help. Left, right, and center. Not help in terms of money, but help in terms of advice and things to do so that what we were looking at or what we were trying to resolve, we'll get it done. Amen. I also told you last, was it 2 weeks ago, about my right hand, that my shoulder had a reduced range of motion. Okay? And it was just amazing. How simple, a simple visit to a restaurant got a simple therapy, in quote. Hallelujah. But it's not as simple as I am saying it, because it took a whole lot of struggle listening to the fact that make a U-turn and go to this restaurant. Amen. And he wasn't telling me go to the restaurant because he wanted to heal me. Hallelujah. He just said, take a U-turn and go to the restaurant and have a nice time there, you know, with your wife. And I was like, wow, this one, what's all this one? Then we went there and we sat down. And that's how, and that is how that therapy came. Okay? And every day, there's always been an improvement. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, when we listen to what God has to say, or what God is doing, we do not know the extent, or we don't know the magnitude of what we are going to experience. Okay? Let me give you, for instance, in Judges chapter 13, when the angel appeared to Samson's mother, what's her name? You know Samson's mother? Okay, so that brings me to, let me take a pause. That brings us to Esther 2.0. During Esther 2.0, we have a lot of, it's a good time to have Bible quiz. Amen. Hallelujah. So go to Judges chapter 13. So if you look at when the angel appeared to his mother, okay, and he told her what she should be expecting. Sorry, resisting dragging. So the Bible says in verse 2, and says, now there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, nor to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of Philistines. So the woman came and told her husband, and a man of God came to me, and he said, and his countenance was like countenance of angel of God, but very awesome. But I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, nor now drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. The monarch prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, let the man of God whom he sent come to us again. And then she came. And then the man of God came again. Hallelujah. The angel appeared again. And when the angel appeared, he repeated everything. Now, she said, it will be a Nazarite separated unto God. Now, at that point when they were being given an instruction, they couldn't have been able to picture what this boy will become. They just know that a Nazarite, okay, is separated unto God. Now, the things that he will do after or as a consequence of obedience. And what was simple obedience? That means that for something to have been manifesting, number one, right from the womb, the mother adhered to what God said she should not do. So she said, don't take wine, don't take any drink. And then, of course, no razor should touch his hair. Okay, that means that from the get-go, once the mother heard that instruction, she kept to it. Because if you look at in Judges chapter 14, he wanted to get married or something, and then he asked his parents to go to with him, and then some people felt that they were going to cheat him. Judges chapter, I like that part. Yeah, chapter 14, then verse 5. Let me read verse 5. It says, so something went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyard of Timnah. Now, to his surprise, a young lion came running against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one who would have been torn apart, who would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. Amen. Now, a lion came. That means his parents were not there. Because if they were there, they would have known that he fought a lion. Okay? And the Bible records that he tore it apart as though it was a goat. I don't know if you have dealt with a goat before. Or you have killed a goat before. You know, some people can kill a goat on their own. Some people can carry a goat, they'll tie it, and then they'll be the only one to butcher it. Okay? So here, the Bible is even trying to let you understand that killing a goat should not be anything of struggle for you. That's what he's saying. He says, as though he had nothing in his hand. He said, as one would have torn apart a young goat. Okay? So that means that if you say young goat, you can use your hands. So ordinarily, everybody here should be able to do that. Even Kewe should be able to do that. It shouldn't be a problem. That's what he's saying, because he's saying that that's how he dealt with the lion. Now, in verse 16, in chapter 16, okay? Let's read from verse 1. Judges 16. It says, now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her, okay? And when the Gazites were told Samson had come here, they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. They were quiet all night, saying, in the morning, when it's daylight, we will kill him. Eh? So he went to a harlot. And then they were like, okay, fine. We have caught this guy. We have surrounded him. And then look at what happens next. He says, and Samson lay low till midnight. Then he arose in midnight, took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the two gate posts, and pulled them up, bar and all, and put them on his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. So this is somebody that they wanted to surround and take hold of, okay? Then in the middle of the night, while they were even waiting for him, he took the gate post. He did not separate. It's not that he took gate one and then this one and then took the post. He took everything and put it on his shoulder and was going. And I am very sure did the Bible record that Samson was a giant? Eh? Answer now. Did you record that he was a giant? No. He was a regular person like you and I. So let's just say he's very regular. So, let's say the size of Natalie. That means that without his size, he picked the gate post, put it on his shoulder, and started marching on. And then he went to the top of the hill. Do you know what it takes? These gate posts that we are having these days, they're even not exactly, it's not good enough to describe. I think the only ones that, I think the buildings around that you can use to describe every post like that or pillars are the one I know, Mapo Wall in Ibadan. And then I think sometimes all this bank that's always white, that looks like a white monument. It looks like you have massive, I mean, let's just use those ones. And if you have been to the north before, if you look at their fence and their gates, you're like, so he carried everything. Now, he wasn't doing those things because he wanted to do them. The Bible records that the Spirit of God was upon him. Hallelujah. And he was obeying. Okay? It was simple obedience. Do this and do this. Now, I'm saying that when you simply follow God's word, you cannot tell the outcome per se. What you know is that the outcome will be good. Hallelujah. How spectacular the outcome will be, you cannot tell. Amen. See, when Daniel refused to stop praying, and he knew that all the other governors and satraps, they are purposely going to the king to pray, to pronounce that decree that if anybody is praying to any other god, he went to his room and then he opened the windows and faced, and he kept on worshiping God and he prayed to God. Hallelujah. Daniel was not in search of becoming a hero of somebody in lion's den that the lion will not touch. That was not his intention. His intention was to ensure that his relationship with God was not severed by human beings. Hallelujah. And that takes us back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that we were reading. Colossians 3, verse 3 that we are reading, that he says, this is where your true life is. Hallelujah. So what was important to him was not the threats or the imposition of decrees to stop him from praying. He knew that decree was against him, and then he still continued. I'm saying when we stay in the instructions that God has given to us, what we will see, even we, okay, cannot exactly say fathom that this is how it's going to be. All we will know is that the end, better is the end of a thing thereof. Amen. Hallelujah. It's just like when people suddenly find money and they take it back to government. You can't tell what they will do to you. They may just give you a handshake. Hallelujah. Or somebody will look at you somewhere. I think I mentioned the story before, okay, of that youth copper that was trying to honor our father. Went back home and said, thank you for letting go of your own desires and sending me to school and all that and all that. And I think one of the governors picked it up. And then everything the man let go of, the house he refused to build, they built for on account of that video. Okay? Now, when that girl was doing that video, she did not think that somebody would pick it up and then build a house for her father. Amen. I'm saying that when we are following God, we are the one that had to be the best, or we have the ones at the receiving end of whatever reward will come from it. Amen. Immediately Samson stepped out of moving God. The Bible says he did not know that the Spirit of God had departed from him. Amen. He did not know. So he's going up and down and blowing guy. He will carry 300 foxes, tie their tails. I don't even know where he got those ones from. Tie their tails together and then and then you know that those things, when you do one and you do two, you'll be feeling like I have arrived. You feel like I have arrived. And that's the wisdom of men. That the Bible was telling us, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that was saying that we should not put our faith in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You know that is that power of God that Samson now fell back on when he now asked, when he prayed the last time, that God, just let this thing come back to me. This spirit, let it come back to me. And then the Bible records that in his death, he killed more Philistines than he had ever done when he was alive. Why? Because now he looked at it and said he was now relying in the power of God. Amen. When we are dealing with God, let us stay where God will find us. So in 1 Corinthians 2, let me go to verse 10. It says, but God, where did I stop? Verse 5, okay? Okay, so in verse 6, it says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But at his reasoning, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Hallelujah. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Hallelujah. Amen. He says that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And if you recollect in the book of Philemon, when Paul sent Onesimus with a handwritten letter, see what he told him. He says in Philemon chapter 1 and verse 6, the TPT, he says, I pray for you that the faith we share may effectively deepen your understanding of every good thing that belongs to you. Is it in the Passion Translation. He says, I pray for you that the faith we share may effectively deepen your understanding of every good thing that belongs to you in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. He says that the faith we share may effectively deepen your understanding of every good thing that belongs to you in Christ. Amen. That means that there's a possibility that you have good things in Christ that you do not have an understanding of. That's what he's saying. He says, I pray that that the faith we share may effectively deepen your understanding. There are certain things that we scratch on the surface. Amen. And there are certain things that you need to dig deep. Okay? But ideally, everything you need to dig deep, okay, to be able to understand it. And the truth of the matter is that once you understand anything, and that's where the wisdom of men is very dangerous. Once you understand anything, when they teach us theorems in mathematics and physics, they will now give you situations to test those theorems. So it will not become a theorem until you have tested it over and over again. And then it has withstood all manner of tests and say, okay, so this theorem stands. And then this is a theorem. So if you are going to apply that theorem, you know very well, because you have tested it and it has been tested over time, that this is the route to this thing always coming out with this result. Amen. If you want to come out with the best results in God, then you have to have a deep understanding of every good thing that belongs to you in Christ. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2 just mentioned it to us. It says, and I read again, it says that, say, for the Spirit searches all things, from verse 10. It says, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And when Paul was praying in Philemon, he says that you have faith. Philemon chapter 1, verse 6. Oh, yeah. says that the faith we share may effectively deepen your understanding of every good thing that belongs to you in Christ. Hallelujah. So once when the Spirit reveals the things that have been freely given to us, then we have that responsibility of understanding these things and understanding them very well. So that every time we look at these things, or every time we have an opportunity and we are faced with challenges or trials concerning these things, our understanding of these things will not make us shake or waver in the face of adversity. It's because you understand. So you see, when yesterday when Lagos went upside down, by the way, I didn't get home until 1 a.m. yesterday So, I mean, I was just a jolly good man, you know. So I had to go and pick my wife. So I started my journey at 3 p.m. Hallelujah. I started my journey at 3 p.m. And then I ended the journey at 1 a.m. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, so when I was going on that journey, I knew that was dangerous. It was a dangerous thing in the fact that I went up in this traffic. But I didn't know it would be that bad. Okay? Hallelujah. And I was not going to give up. So, at the point, I think we were on one particular, stretch. That stretch is like maybe the length of this, about 30 meters. We were on that stretch for about 5 hours. We now move like this. After 1 hour, you move like that. And then another hour, you move like that. Then suddenly, that's what we're doing for 5 hours. And then I told my wife, I said, thank God it's not one of those days that there won't be fuel in the car. And then you now be like, start, stop. You know, man, stop the car. Stop. Then like, and you know when the fuel level is low, when you are doing start, stop, after a time, that start, this is what we do. There's no fuel. And then we saw cars that were broken down and all that. But you see, the ordinary wisdom that we have, or the working of a car, is that as long as there's fuel in it, it will keep moving. Now, there are other things that can happen. As I say, first of all, you're in the comfort of this car, so nothing's going to go wrong. And then I looked at the fuel gauge. I said, this one, we are fine. Even if we stay here till tomorrow, till 12 hours, we are fine. Why? Because I know, I understand the function or how that car functions. So in the morning, when the thing happened in the morning, and I got to the office, I was just fuming. My boss said, what's wrong? I said, this morning traffic, have made me waste 5 liters of fuel. Man was looking at me. I said, sir, ordinarily, from my house to this office, I would do 1.5 liters of fuel. The guy looked at me like, you are just a different person. I said, it's 1.5 liters. I said, by the time I got my wife to the office, it was 1 liter. And then normally, half a liter will get me here. I said, but now, this morning, coming this way, it has taken me about 5 liters. I was fuming, not knowing that. Praise God. Not knowing that I was going to burn 20 liters without, just like that. Now, I'm saying this because I'm trying to tell you what understanding does for you. So I was confident of the level of fuel in the car and how far it will go because I know how it works. Amen. And I can read how it works. Not like when I was, see this life is funny. When I was dating my wife, the car we were using, you have to calculate it too. You have to do like this. When last did I buy fuel? Yesterday, how much did I buy? This one, it won't last. Then you go and buy because the gauge was not working. Hallelujah. The gauge wasn't working. So you just say, okay, I bought 500 naira yesterday. Normally, you take me 2 days. And I've gone outside the water. I'm going to buy it today. That's how you. But this one, I just sat down and said, no. This is 1 liter. This will give 2 liters. I said, these bars, they 7 liters. Nothing. You know, that confident. When you understand things like that, is the confidence you approach anything that comes to threaten what you understand. So if anything outside of what you understand happens, you become worried and say, there is a problem. That's when you say there is a problem. Meanwhile, there's already a problem in the sense that you were doing things that were, you were in a situation that was abnormal. But it wasn't much of a problem because your understanding was keeping you in that your comfort zone. That's what understanding does. It keeps you in that comfort zone, okay, in your relationship with God. So, I don't like this flower. Let me take this flower away. In Romans chapter 8, I read from verse 10. It says, "And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you." Amen. Let me read again. Verse 10. It says, "And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you." Hallelujah. Another translation says, "He will vitalize your mortal bodies." Amen. So the presence of the spirit, okay? Number one, it makes you know the things that have been freely given to you. Hallelujah. Amen. So when you know the things that have been freely given to you, then faith deepens your understanding of how those things work. Okay? It's mine. How does it work? How does it relate with me? And then he's saying here that that same spirit, if it dwells on the inside of you, it vitalizes your mortal bodies. You see the reason why in Colossians 3, it was telling us that, you know what? Colossians 3, verse 3, in the Passion Translation, it was saying, you know, that this is the true life that you have in God and in Christ. Colossians 3, verse 3, TPT, says, "Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life, and now your true life is hidden away in God in Christ." Hallelujah. Amen. And if you are not in Christ, you don't have access to the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you don't have access to that Spirit, you don't know, you will not know what has been freely given to you. Amen. You know, everybody reads and reads, I think it's verse 9 or verse 8, that talks about 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that talks about eye has not seen, or ear heard, or has he entered the heart of man, what God has in store. Hallelujah. Amen. Because you will stop there, because that the other part which is very critical is what he has in store for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. Amen. Hallelujah. So, to them that are not called, and to them that do not love him, they will always stop at the fact that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has he entered into the heart of man. That's why when we come into a place and we speak the word of God, hallelujah, and things begin to happen, those that are not saved, or those that are not rejuvenated in the spirit, they will always wonder and say, what is this one? And they are the ones that marvel when a miracle happens. Amen. Because to them, that is an extraordinary thing. But to us, it is the most natural thing to walk in the realm of the supernatural. The next verse says that, but God, see, so everything that you have read before now, with this inclusion of, is it preposition now? Or conjunction, which one is it? Whatever it is. With the infusion of but, it negates every other thing. So, if you go back to verse 9, the fact that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, or has he entered the heart of man, this but negates it. Meaning that, but God has revealed them to us. So, what has been revealed to you? That means you have seen it, you have heard it, and it has entered your hearts. Amen. But it doesn't just come like that. It says, through his spirit. Hallelujah. So, a life outside of the spirit is not life. Hallelujah. Amen. It is not life. Colossians 3:3 says, This is your true life. It is hid in God in Christ. Amen. And if it's going to be hid in God in Christ, it cannot be without the presence of the Spirit of God. He says, go back to 1 Corinthians 2. He says that, verse 10. He said, for God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. That's why, which one were we reading the other time? Philemon. Philemon 1:6. So the deep things of God. Philemon 1:6 says that we may share, I pray for you that the faith we share may effectively deepen your understanding of every good thing. Hallelujah. You see, you cannot search out these things and understand them on the periphery. Amen. You will not be able to sustain an argument. Hallelujah. Amen. You will not be able to sustain an if what you understand is on the periphery, somebody will come and I don't even know how to describe it. Someone will come from another angle. How best will I describe it to? Let us say we are. Some people say that it's difficult to box me in a corner. That I always find a way out of it. Which one was it? Was it on the meeting we had on Saturday? And they were, what were they saying? Okay. So I was in the meeting room, and I said that we need to, as all of us in this meeting, we need to be contributing money. We should be contributing money. So they thought that if they said, we will start with you that you are talking, should be your mouth. They thought that they will start with me. I will not back down. And I said, fine, no problem. You start with me. But once you start with me, it means that the next person is going to be in a geometric progression. We thought that if you said, we start with you, you back down. I said, no, it can't happen. Nobody, no problem. Let's start with me. And then the next person will be, you know what a geometric progression is? It's a multiplication. Arithmetic progression is an addition. So if we say, let me explain to you. So if we say, I'm starting with 1,000 naira. Arithmetic progression means that the next person, I can decide that, okay, the other person is plus 1,000. That's what aggregate projection is. So after that one, that means the next person will do 2,000, Abi. Then the next person will do 3,000. Now, arithmetic progression, if I say I'll do 1,000, then I say the next person is times 3 or times 5. Multiplication. So if I say it's times 5, that means the next person will do 5,000. And then the next person will do times 5 of that one. So the last person is the one that will carry all the weight. I cannot carry last. Hallelujah. You must always have an answer and be able to get yourself out of anything in God. If these understandings are not deep, you will be gliding on the surface and you'll be slipping and you'll be falling down. That's why people that have no right to the claims that we have will go and look at the scripture so that they can come and argue with you. And then they will say things that they do not understand. And then you'll be looking at them and then you'll be like, oh, it's true. Okay. You know that kind of thing. That's not what it is. It says that the faith we share may effectively deepen your understanding. Hallelujah. And the Bible, and 1 Corinthians 2:10 and 11 says that the Spirit of God, he searches out the deep things of God. God doesn't want you to be operating at the level, at the surface level. Hallelujah. And that's why he said that as babes, you were fed the sincere milk of the world. You have to move on, hallelujah, to the tough things. Amen. But you know the beauty of the things that we call tough? Their treatment is the same treatment as the things that we call soft. What is their treatment? It's the same word of God. It is just how well-rooted you are in the word of God that makes a difference. Amen. So if you have maize, growing on a farm, and you have a tree growing on the farm, and you bring a car, yeah, you will easily run over the base plant. But then the plant, the car, the one that is a tree, and the car, you think twice. That no. Let me go and look for something that is stronger. Hallelujah. Amen. You know that a moving car, it doesn't have, the resistance of a moving car is far less than the resistance of a stationary car. Hallelujah. That's why government is pleading to everybody that this should be your speed limit. The resistance of a moving car is far less than the resistance of a stationary car. Now, the speed at which any car moves or any object moves is telling you, it gives you the magnitude of the catastrophe that thing that will befall that thing in the event of an accident. Are you getting me? So if something is moving slowly, let them go less like this. If I hit Mr. Sajay like this, we don't feel anything. Small impact. When I'm running, and have you seen that when two vehicles, one is moving, one is faster than the other, it is the one that is fast that will spoil you, will scatter. He's thinking about it. You two are thinking about it. Think about it very well. He's the one. For every force, there is an equal and opposite reaction. The one that is stationary. That's why on the road, Grant, anytime you see anybody, people, just go. Anytime you see two people that have accident, check. The one that bash. See, the one that is, if it's head-on collision like this, the one, you will know that this guy was the one speeding. His car will spoil. You have to have deep understanding. Now, what got me there was the story of the maize plant and the tree. The things that are family rooted, they are difficult to uproot. Amen. Hallelujah. If not for technology, there's technology that's got to, they've designed what looks like caterpillars. You can use it to pull a tree and it will pull it out even from the root. It's technology that caused that. But before now, it's difficult. So now, if that tree that's in front of that compound, if you want to remove it, you're just going to bring that caterpillar. It has a fork-like mouth like this. You clamp the tree, and then you pull it up. As high as you can take it, you take it out. So you cannot be playing games when it comes to spiritual things, because your true life was given to you by deep things. Amen. Hallelujah. So, you know, last week I said, you need to understand what this crucifixion is about for you to understand what you have as a born-again Christian. And that's the same thing that Colossians 3:3 is saying again. Now, look, this is your true life. Hallelujah. He died so that you and I can live. Amen. They are deep things. And it takes the Spirit of God to search out those deep things and to understand it. And when you find it, when you hold on to it, is with tenacity that is even stronger than a bulldog's own. You know a bulldog's tenacity. Pastor Sajay that is close to me this evening, unfortunately. So now you're going to do all the example. If a bulldog is chasing him, and a bulldog manages to clamp his jaws on his calf, you know this calf, and he locks that jaw. The only thing that will remove that jaw is to cut off the head of that bulldog. That's it. So when you go to people's house and you're playing with dog, be careful. If you have an understanding, you will not be playing with dogs. When you see a dog, you say, what dog is it? Say, Rottweiler. You say, okay, thank you. I'm just telling you. Say, my dog is a bulldog. Say, okay. If you don't know, just carry your phone. Just tell Google. Characteristic of bulldog. Just know. is understanding. Because once the person that the bulldog understands is not there and you are left alone, it's trouble. When I was growing up, Osungu, when I was growing up, we were living in a compound. They had a dog, and the agreement was that they would not release that dog. It was upstairs and downstairs, so they won't release that dog until 10 p.m. Because the landlord said he has to. And not, the dog was very fine, right? Very, very lovely dog. So one day, myself and the houseboy were playing, we wanted to play football. The guy was not like, this dog needs to have a walk. That he didn't release him like two nights. He needs to have a walk. And it was 6 p.m. And we were playing football. So the guy released the dog. And then the dog would run around. The compound was twice this church compound. We would run around. So we were playing ball. How do you call that thing? You play to me, I play to you. We play, then you be forming keeper. Hey, catch the ball. Play. So, as the guy shot the ball to me, the guy turned. He turned. Me, I went to pick the ball. The next thing, when I turned around, I saw the dog running towards me. Meanwhile, the guy turned away. And then the dog ran towards me, and unfortunately, he beat me on my shin. When the owner came, the owner said, where were you outside where the dog was? So where were you outside where the dog was? Did I not tell you people that the dog comes out at 10 p.m.? So when you saw it at 6 p.m., where were you outside? You have to have an understanding. So we were asking the dog, the owner, please, this dog go. So that night, I had to wait for my mom. My mom was not around. I had to wait for her. She didn't come back until late at night. 11 p.m., we went to the hospital because of rabies. We were asking the owner, did this dog take anti-rabies? Even house. When I before my mother came, because I was crying. And then my sister said, I started barking, you know. I got so scared. Don't come near me. I started back. There's nothing you tell me in this life. Even when I'm 90, 100, that I'll see a dog and tell you that it's okay, the owner is here. It's not possible. Because the guy just turned, his back, and the guy looked like, this guy, I've been waiting for the opportunity, and he came. Look, if you don't have a deep understanding, the Bible says the devil is what? Is roaming. Eh? Looking for what? Exactly. He will look for people that, see, the Spirit has told them, these things have been freely given to you. But they do not have an understanding of how these things that have been freely given to them, how they work. That's what's going to happen. It's womb to devour. Hallelujah. And that's when you see, there's every day there has to be that decision that I'm taking no decision without Christ. Because that's the true life that we live. It says, if that same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, it dwells on the inside of you, it will do what? It will vitalize your mortal bodies. Amen. It will vitalize. So when you are speaking to your body, it is the spirit on the inside that is going to it's going to vitalize that body and keep it alive. Hallelujah. Let's rise to our feet. Let's just talk to God this. Let's talk to God this. Understanding is key. And there are three things that you need to know. Number one is the importance of the crucifixion. And thank God we're in the season of Lent and the season of Easter. And this is the best time to break down the crucifixion and the resurrection. And that's what we gained by that singular act of the Son of God going to the cross and rising up on the third day and giving us life and exchanging his life for our life for ease. Hallelujah. He says, the life we have found, that is the true life. Nothing. He says, everything I'm talking to you about, I'm not talking to you by the wisdom of men or whatever. He says, I'm talking to you from that point of Jesus and him crucified. Because that's where your life finds substance. Let's talk to God this evening. Lift up your voice and give him all the praise. Thank him because indeed you find substance in understanding that this is where your life is embedded. Father, we give you all the glory and praise. Lebranca Poscata Lida Rabasa Catadia. Erebos katanda likambu kanda sataria ekamblos kotande santalia lepunkos kotatinda likatamba sataria ekasanta likatopa satalida rabasakaria engas katan la basataya eka la poka da panda rebaria ekatopra diska taliga rabasaria. If that same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells on the inside of us, hallelujah, it will quicken, it will vitalize our mortal bodies, hallelujah. So we are free because we have our spirit of God on the inside of us. We are the yield of the Lord that the devil is trying to make sick, hallelujah. We can live our life outside of the spirit, hallelujah. Eka pasokan madinga rabos katalia Jude 1:20 manka santa liga eka paska daliga. You have to pray in the Holy Ghost, hallelujah. Eka po madabasata liga enka skatambo rika titede ya eka pro santa liga rabasata ya o mas katanda liga rabasata ya is an understanding that brings liberation, hallelujah. Eka pansa information is knowledge, hallelujah. Eka paska daya eka rabos kataliga masanga and an understanding of how things work, hallelujah, brings liberation, hallelujah. Sato brekanda liga da da bahia matobos kotomba lebasa ekambosa taliga da basataria e yanda baskata bose da liga da bahia mandaskata lida basaria ekatoba tinde di basaria Manglatos Cataliga Rabaya, Eka Santa Librados Cataliga, Eclatomas Catanda Lida Rabasupria, Eclados Cataliga Rabadis Catalia, Englada Seta Bom Malababase Ketebaria, Eclado Pratinga Rababasandaliza, E Sandos Cotanda Lica Rabasagaya, E Sampaco Pratis Cataliga Rabaria.
Panthers fall, the waters so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire. The water so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire and I long to
upon
worthy to be praised. You are the Lamb upon the throne, and unto you we lift our voice to sing. You are the
filling a void. There's an emptiness. It says it's filling it. Of course, your gaze upon him right now. Mangrabos, Ekabos, Kadina Brados, Ekam Plato Pratis, Katadina Basakaria, Ekalim Prada Basa, Dania da Basaya, Ekana Prados, Kataliga da Basaya. The healing power of the Lord is moving. Rika Basaya, Ekabasa, you're standing in gap for someone, Mangrabasaya. There's healing taking place right now. Ekrabos, Katalida Rabasadaya, Ekatanda, Lekanga Liga Rabasadaya. Somebody's right side. Man Klabasaya. Eka is being restored. Man Labas Katalia. Esadaya looks like his limb on that right side. Man Sadia. But that right side is being restored. Man Kabasaya. Oh Manlinga Sakanda Skatanda Lia. Ekrando Bosco to Bosa Kaliga Leanda Satalia. Eka Kakandiska to Batindelis Katalia. Edebon Satan Sankalis Katandalia. Makanga sata luba ekratosko pakate de bosa de ya eskatana liska dalisa ya masaposko to panda lita de ya
yes you are the Lord most high. Yes, you are the Lord Most High. Yes, you are the Lord Most High. Yes, you are the
the Lord Most High. There's nothing impossible for him. Hallelujah. He's the Lord Most High. Everything is subject to him. Hallelujah. That new venture, man, pratans kataliga there. Just commit it into his hands. Mikatobos katalia, eklamba kamba sakariga, eklatan. I see the blossom. Hallelujah. Ekaboso there. I don't know what that is for, but I see blossom. Hallelujah. Ekaboska labosa la linga da babazia. Ekaskata bosa there is a new venture, man, sataliga. Ekaboska kanga riba da basaria. Ekamba sana ya akaboso, and it is blossom because God is in the midst of it. Hallelujah. Oh, scatatikra dos catabasanea. E kalingla da basanea. Oh, most high. Yes, you are the Lord. Most high. Yes, you are the sing it. Yes, you are the Lord. Hey, do not despise the day of little beginnings. Yes. Yes, you are the Lord. Most high. Yes, you are the Lord.
Most
high. Just worshiping.
Most worshiping.
You are Lord. Oh, my God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Master Father. Thank you
for the comfort that the Spirit brings.
Thank you, Reka Buskatalia. Makanga, thank you because we live here. Confident of who we are. Hallelujah. Ebrosko panka linga tasata liya. Thank you because indeed we are clenched that you are the Most High. Linga skata liya. Erebo saka kanga katanda liya. Epopa kalinga dabasaya. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Jesus' name we worship. Lord, we thank you. We give you. Thank you because indeed you are a good God. And thank you for the seeds that have been planted. Hallelujah. Thank you for an harvest. A bountiful harvest concerning your word in Jesus' name. We give you all the praise, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.